everyone, welcome to Addicted to Triathlon. Whether you've been doing triathlons for years or you want to do your first one and don't know how to start, listen to our podcast, read our articles, check out our videos, and ask us questions. We would like to be a part of your journey to becoming addicted to triathlon.
Welcome to Addicted to Triathlon, episode number 25. We've got a special issue today with our podcast. We are interviewing another triathlete that I think is probably famous out there, Jennifer yes. Comfort. Jennifer Comfort is a triathlon coach and an upcoming participant in the Ironman 70.3 taking place this September in Tri-Cities, Washington.
Right.
Today, she is proudly a multiple 70.3 World Championship and Ironman finisher, half iron distance champion, Boston Marathon qualifier, and more, setting an amazing example for women all over the world.
Are you embarrassed?
I mean,
about you.
Maybe a little.
She's taken her desire.
My athletes have done all those things too, not just you. So do my athletes.
That's good. She's taken her desire for racing to coach others. This hometown race will be one for Jennifer to remember as she gets to see the beautiful Washington terrain while competing. Jennifer often travels the world to compete in various races and excited to bring the world to her hometown this September.
Right.
So that's Absolutely. Our intro to you.
Caitlin, so are your I have a question to that. Is your parents live there as well, or
actually they do. They live exactly 5 houses down from
there. Oh, nice. Wow.
I am literally right back where I started.
Oh yes. Nice.
Thank you for asking. They are here. Yes.
Good.
Yeah.
Good. So why did you get into triathlons? And like, tell us about your first itty-bitty triathlon.
Yeah, my first was in 2005. I had my first child in 2004. Mm-hmm. I have three children. They're adults now. 16, 18, and 20 now.
Wow.
But I had my first child in 2004. And after that, I started going to a local gym just to get out of the house and to try to bounce back from pregnancy and maintain some mental and physical health after having a child. So in 2005, I was at the gym and another woman, also named Jen, said, "Hey, you should really, there's this triathlon coming up in July in Richland here in Tri-Cities. And you should really, I think you would like it. You should try it out." And I was just kind of going to the gym for health reasons. I was doing body pump, which, you know, lifting weights.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe some, which I loved actually at that time.
That was fun. Fun. Yeah.
Yes. Fantastic. Did you used to do that too, Kate?
Yeah.
Or do it now?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
But it always hurt my shoulder.
Right. Yeah. It's kind of quick and yeah. So anyway, I was just kind of going to the gym for fun. I wasn't tracking anything I was doing or nothing serious. And so this other Jen was like, "Hey, you should try this triathlon out." And I was like, "I don't even know what that is. I don't know what you're talking about." and I really didn't know anything about the sport. And I was like, "Well, okay, I know how to swim. I grew up with pools. I can find a bike in my parents' garage and I can kind of run." So I tried it. Yeah, it was a mountain bike sprint triathlon. Mm. I actually did it this summer in July too, my 19th year doing it.
Wow.
And I know. So it's in the river that we swam in, the Columbia River. It's the same portion that we're doing the 70.3 in a few weeks as well. So I did the swim. I did the triathlon. I never stuck my face in the water. I was terrified. Open water swimming is not the same as pool swimming, which we
That's
all know
right.
now.
Yep.
And most of your listeners, I'm sure, know. But at the time, I didn't know. I started from nothing. I hired a swim coach. I bought a bike. And I was terrible. But I was like, gosh, this is really fun and very challenging. And I think I might have some potential, but I don't know. Uh-huh. So I kind of rolled with it. Yeah.
Wow.
That's great.
Yeah, I was a runner and John had to teach me to swim.
I'm like, oh yes. That was me. That was me.
Yeah. Our first open water swim session was also very exciting.
Oh my gosh.
Oh.
Hyperventilate.
Uh-huh.
Well, I'm drowning.
I cried on one of my, yeah, I cried and got out of the water. I practiced, oh. I think, one time before the race, and I was like, I can't do this. Where? Oh, wow. I was that scared. And now I love swimming in the open water. It's so peaceful to me now.
Yes, yeah.
19 years ago, that wasn't the case. So, yeah.
Wow. Something that Kate and I go back and forth on, because I'm an evening person and Kate's a morning person, and she's trying to trick me to be a morning person. So we have discussions about when to work out. Do you prefer mornings or do you prefer evening workouts?
Oh, this is such a good question. And honestly, I have evolved and it changes.
To morning?
Well, actually, no.
Yay.
I'm actually, to be honest, I'm team midday.
Oh, midday.
I have found that, so before COVID, I was the 4:30 a.m. get up, go to Masters three or four times, Masters swimming, three or four times a week religiously, never. And then, and my kids were younger too also. So I would get a run on, when I wasn't swimming, I was running or biking at dark 100 before they woke up. And I just kind of kept that going even as my kids got older. And then when COVID hit a few years ago and the pools shut down for everybody, and all of a sudden I'm sleeping in a little bit more because I don't have to wake up. I can't, there's nowhere to go. Yeah. And then I was like, oh my gosh, I really love to sleep. I was like, whoa, this is novel. And I haven't gone back to those early mornings, which is so weird. But I did that for a decade and a half. I was early mornings. And now I find how my schedule works. Now that I'm a coach, I do have that flexibility for midday workouts. And so I work in the morning and my brain is really, I could do the tasks that I really need to have, like some deeper level thinking.
Right.
And then I need to take a break. And usually that's when I'll do my first workout, is around midday. And then I'll go back and work again. And then maybe if my second workout is in the evening. So long story short, I'm kind of in the middle.
Well, like the normal, you know, the normal age grouper, like they have to pick either the morning or the night. Yes. And like by nighttime, I'm staring at the computer all day. So I'm drained and sucked from stress. So I'd rather just do it morning.
And by nighttime, I'm awake. So I'm ready to go.
And you're opposite, John. Yeah. I would say, though, if thinking about my athletes, I would say.
Oh, yeah. How about them?
I would say 80% of them do early morning workouts
before
work.
We went swimming last week and I'm like, oh, I'm halfway through my swim. I didn't even, you know, didn't all click in that I was actually out there working out.
He's still half asleep. No?
Just going through the motions. So, I mean, there's
that's
that
a good
too.
Question, though. I think everybody's a little bit different. And like I said, it does change over time too, I think, depending on the stages in life we're in.
Yeah, right. But yeah, if I was a pro athlete, I'd do morning and night. So nutrition. So we've been doing lots of nutrition talk on our podcast. Yeah. I've had problems with my IBS. I got diagnosed and couldn't finish my practices and stuff. So nutrition is an essential part of sports. So like what's your kind of diet look like before you work out, in the middle, when you are, or in after?
Sure. I think that I take a pretty holistic approach to nutrition. For me personally, right now I'm plant-based because that works for me. And I realize that's not for everybody, and I don't push that on my athletes at all. If they're interested in and want to talk about it, I absolutely will. And I will help them talk about how to make it work as an athlete and making sure, you know, it's balanced. And I think that's the case with any. If you want to be a pure carnivore or a, I was going to say Atkins, but I think that's dating me. I think that was like in the 80s, wasn't it? I don't even know what that is, actually. But whatever, however somebody wants to eat, I always, I mean, usually most of the time, the less ingredients, the better. You know, I don't think you can
the
probably
whole food ingredients. The whole,
yeah, the whole foods. And when I say plant-based, I am whole food plant-based. So, it's not
and just, we're kind of going that way because with my IBS, I see a nutritionist and she tells us to eat beans, which is tons of fiber for your stomach, and vegetables, John. I'm pushing him to eat more vegetables now.
I heard that John wasn't really big on those.
But we're going that way. We still eat our meat, but mostly vegetables and beans.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think when you start looking into a little bit more, and a lot of times, I don't know if you've come into this, but the first question, especially if you say you're plant-based or whatever, however you choose to eat, is, well, how are you getting your protein? Right. Well, it's if you look into a lot of plants, they actually do have protein. Yeah. Or beans, for example. They're
the
high
beans,
in fiber. They're high
so
in protein.
So much fiber. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. And they're so filling for you. And so I'm really a big proponent of clean eating. And am I perfect? Absolutely not. So I'm not completely restrictive, but just on a day-to-day basis, I really do try to eat fruits and vegetables. I love carbs. So, I mean, I love baking bread. It's one of my favorite things to do.
Oh, yeah.
I love homemade bread.
It smells so good.
It does, doesn't it? And I think for my athletes, the challenge that a lot of age groupers have is having confidence that carbs are not bad and that when we're out on the roads and the trails for hours on end, we need carbs. Carbs are our energy.
Yeah, and that's what I've been learning. Yeah.
Yeah. And different people can handle different levels of carbohydrates. I mean, back in the day, the recommendation was 40 to 60 grams of carbs per hour. Then went up to like 60 to 70. And now it's more like 80 to 90. And the pros are pushing 120 grams of carbohydrates an hour. Yeah. And so, can a, normal mortal being, be able to process 120 carbohydrates an hour? No, probably not. Or you have to train your body to do so. But I think just having confidence and adjusting the mindset that just constantly putting fuel in your body is really going to help your performance.
Right.
And that's what we're kind of looking for, on whatever level we're at in our journey in triathlon.
Yeah. So are working out, are you eating a lot of liquids or are you eating some solids or?
Yeah, good question. So I'll just take an example from my bike ride today. I rode the 70.3 course.
Oh, wow.
And it's just such a beautiful day here. And it's a fantastic course. It's going to be a little bit sneaky for people because it's described as rolling, but there's some punchy climbs in it.
Oh, wow. Yeah. How fun.
It's so fun. So anyway, long story short. So I chose, I had some electrolytes and salts in my bottles for hydration. I had a 40 ounce and then 220 ounces. So I had 80 ounces of hydration. And then for my calories, I did a bar. I don't know if I can say brands on this show. I love picky bars. So I had a picky bar, which was 200 calories. Mm. I had Belvita crackers from Costco, just the crackers.
Oh, okay.
The blueberry ones. Mm-hmm. Those are 230 or 40 calories. Mm-hmm. And then I had a pack of scratch chews. Those are 160 calories. So kind of a combination. Kind of a mixture of bars, crackers, and chews today, and I felt awesome.
And your head was good and everything.
Yes, it really was. What about you guys? What do you guys do when you're out training?
Well, for our cycling, it took us a while to find out how much Caitlin could absorb.
Yes,
and make her not feel foggy.
Because John's really good. He doesn't feel the head thing that I get.
Yeah,
sure. Like the sugar just runs out of me. I don't know how to explain it.
So we actually we use sodium citrate for her sodium.
Okay.
And then we actually ended up using table salt or table sugar for
it tastes good.
She can absorb that just fine, and she can do a whole 70, the 56-mile bike ride, no problem, on two bottles. So
my head felt good.
And you're just sticking the sugar into water?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, oh. and it's all in one mix. So she doesn't have to worry about doing hydration and nutrition at the same time.
Mm-hmm. And then when do you use the endurance, John? Didn't you?
Yeah, and then we started
sprinting. Who makes all this for me?
Gatorade Endurance for flavoring.
And
a little bit more carbs in there, mm-hmm. too. So it's a bit of a mix, and we found one that works for her, and so we just keep it for her.
And the whole entire time for the 70.3 Waco, I just had that and one of the Nature's fig bars, those fig bar protein.
Sure.
I love those things. They make your stomach feel great. Mm-hmm. So I think I had one or two of those bars.
Mm-hmm.
But
mm-hmm.
I didn't really eat anything. Like, I mostly just drank.
Mm-hmm.
And then
when
I was running, I would just had a little bit of Gatorade. But
And you felt good?
It was good, it
yeah. Yeah. I think it's a puzzle. I think every athlete is so different, and it really is. And I think, and that's part of why I love coaching too. Everything I do is completely customized, from training plans to nutrition, because I do realize we're all different, different athletes and different people. And even within ourselves, what worked last year might not work this year.
Right. I used to eat, just drink Gatorade and water and eat those chews when I was a marathoner.
Sure.
And I would bonk at times.
Oh, yeah.
And I would have to grab something from their tables and drink a little Coke.
Mm-hmm.
But,
I was doing a 20-mile run, and she completely bonked, was crying. Oh. And I'm like,
I don't know where I am.
Oh, no.
Like, I know exactly.
That was when I was a beginner.
Yes, yeah, so we went straight to the gas station, and I bought her a Coke.
I'm a real smart. Coke.
Oh, I drink Coke on the race course every single time. I try to hold out until halfway, but Coke has, I mean, I'm pretty sure it saved my life in some of these races.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. Yeah. Who would have thought? I usually wouldn't touch it with a 10-foot pole on a regular day.
Mm-hmm.
Not very whole food plant-based product, but during a race, man, that sugar, oh gosh.
Mm-hmm. Yep, it's great.
It's good to have for an emergency.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it seems like people are busier now more than ever. How do you schedule out your training weeks, and do you have any special training methods that you use?
For me personally or for my athletes?
Either way.
Yeah.
You and your athletes.
Mm.
But I'm sure your athletes, it's all probably different. For all of them.
It really is. Yeah. For my athletes that I coach, it's so different depending on their careers, if they're married, their partners or not partners, married, dogs, how much they travel, their kids. All of my athletes are, they're on different training programs. That being said, I have a group that are doing the 70.3 here in Tri-Cities, and there are benchmarks that I try to, that I get everybody to, but it might be, one athlete might be doing their long run on Sunday. A different athlete might be doing a similar distance run on Friday, but it's still getting in that volume. For me, my training has evolved. I'm self-coached right now by myself. I've had coaches over the years, and I'm so grateful for them. And they helped me, reach some athletic achievements that I'm very proud of, but I couldn't have done it by myself. And right now I'm at the point where I do coach myself. And my training is, it's kind of more intuitive at this point.
That's the best.
It really is. Like I have an idea of what I need to accomplish over the week, but if I wake up and I just want to run sometimes, or I just need to run and it needs to be on a trail that day, or I would prefer it to, sometimes it's a need. Then I'm going to go run trails. Then I'm going to go run trails that day. I might, if I have a really busy day with lots of athlete meetings and I don't have time to drive to a trail, then I'll, compromise. I'll be like, okay, well, the path is right outside my back door. I can go. Yeah, I don't have to drive anywhere. I'll just go do my run there. Or even, for example, the past couple days I've taken my gravel bike out riding and even though this race is coming up in a few weeks, I just needed a different stimulus and my time trial bike just wasn't calling my name. Yeah. So I put in some miles
on
my
gravel.
Yeah,
I would so do that.
It made it fun. Kate, that's the exact word. I know I needed to get some higher bike volume, but I wanted to have fun with it. So I brought my gravel bike out. And so I encourage my athletes to do likewise. I make up these training programs and there's an art and a science to it. Mm-hmm. But at the end of the day, I want my athletes to be happy. Mm-hmm. And if there's something on Wednesday that's just not speaking to them and their mind and, body needs something else, then I give them that liberty to do
that.
You
seem like you're so cool as a coach. You say your athletes, you seem like you actually care about their lives.
Thank you so much.
You don't want to just throw them a training plan. You want to integrate it. Yeah.
I really do. I do. Mm-hmm. I don't take my job lightly because I think people's, number one, our time is limited. Everybody's busy, mm-hmm. right? Which goes back to the question that you posed at the beginning of this. Everybody's busy. We all have responsibilities. And so time is precious. And I'm not just going to throw something at somebody that they can't do.
Yeah.
And I want my athletes to feel successful. And then number two, it's their body. It's their health. Like I can't think of anything. Time and health. That's important. That is really important to me.
Yeah.
And so when an athlete hires me on, I really do make an effort to make it work and to keep our lines of communication open and honest. And it's not always pretty. Sometimes, we might have some different approaches, but we work it out. We just communicate and honesty is what it's all about. And so it is a relationship that I build. I really aim to build with my athletes and I want them to know that I do care. Mm-hmm. I really do. Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah, I would only post Caitlin's or her real name's Caitlin. I call her Caitlin for the show, but I only post the 1 week's worth of workouts because I didn't want her to see the whole thing.
Right.
And then we would every week we'd have a discussion about, okay, how you feeling today? Can you do this one? And then if not, then we'd change the schedule.
Absolutely.
But as long as we were hitting her targets, at different points, but.
Yeah.
Well, that's good. That's good. I like to hear that.
Yeah.
All right.
So, how do you recover during your training or after your training? Mm-hmm. Do you like have any fun or like other things you do, I'm sure with your kids or recovering, like what do you do to, massage or stretch or whatever?
Yeah. Good question. Nice. Do you guys ice bath?
Caitlin did.
I have, yeah.
I said, do you need one? Because she was really sore and she had a long run.
I screamed.
I have not gotten on that train because I'm such a baby with cold, but I have no doubt it has benefits.
But it feels so good.
After.
So I do, I have a Theragun that I use for, massaging of some muscles, my calves or my piriformis gets kind of fired up sometimes.
We should get one of those.
It's
pretty good.
It is. Mm-hmm. It's wonderful. It's fantastic. Yeah. Theragun. And then I have actually started yoga back up. A practice. I just do it at my house. I used to, for a couple years, I was every Monday night I did yoga religiously. I did not miss my yoga Monday night. Mm-hmm. And those were years, those were, 8-10 years ago when I really was competing in 10-12 triathlons a year. A lot.
Quiet time.
Yeah. And I felt that was really, really valuable. It was just once a week. And so now I'll do maybe 20, 30 minutes of yoga once or twice a week right now. I'm not very good at stretching on my own on a regular basis. I'll be honest. I'm just not. I have Sometimes I do work standing up though, and I find that that is very helpful instead of sitting down. Mm-hmm. I have a desk that, you know, can raise and lower. And it's always raised. And what else? And as far as also recovering, I'm a big reader. I love to read. So, you know, if I have a really hard workout in the, or in the evening, just to kind of unwind, I read, and that helps me relax my body and my mind as well.
Yeah, I stare at the computer, so I'd rather listen to a book.
There you go. That makes sense.
So this is, I really like this question. So I was like not investigating, but I was reading all about you on Instagram because we have an Instagram. I saw your motivational posts. Those are really cool. And we were reading your profile and your mantra, mood follows action. That must have been a long time ago. Can you explain that mantra?
Yes. Well, thanks. I'm glad that those resonated with you.
Yeah.
And I think that sometimes, and myself included, if our headspace isn't where we want it to be, I'll ruminate about something, and if something's bothering me, or I'm not sure what I should do. And sometimes I think you just have to do it and not second guess. And then you'll get the results that, well, you'll get results whether or not it's what you were looking for, or what I was looking for, or what I wasn't looking for. But I think just going out and doing things, whether it's doing that hard workout, whether it's, you know, starting a business, whether it's, you know, whatever it is in life.
Fake it till you make it.
I mean, kind of, right? Yeah. I think there's a reason that phrase is so popular. I actually just said that to somebody yesterday. Yes. Because I suffer from imposter syndrome often. I do. And in those times when I'm doubting myself, I'm just like, no, Jen, just go do it. Like, stop thinking about it. Just go do it. Just, I don't know.
That's I always tell John, let's do this. Let's do this.
Yeah. And if it, and what's the, and also what's the worst thing that can happen? So it doesn't work out. Okay. Well, so what? I've always been so afraid of failure, and I'm really trying to get better at not being afraid of failure. Have you guys ever dealt with that at all?
Yeah. Going and doing my 70.3.
Sure.
Like, I may not finish. There's hills. The wind was 22 miles an hour.
Oh, gosh. Oh, that's a lot.
I'm so scared of the water. That's the worst part. Just stuff like that in your head.
Absolutely.
And so, but I'm like, whatever. The worst can happen. I cannot finish the cutoff. But, I mean, I trained. I had fun. Me and John got to hang out. You just try to think of the good things in your head.
And
is there anything you do in regards to mental training, especially when you're out there doing your long sessions?
Yes. Actually, I'm a meditator, so I meditate at least twice a day in the morning and evening, and usually sometimes during midday as well, or as many times as I need to. And sometimes they're 1 minute, sometimes they're 3 minutes, sometimes they're 20 or 30 minutes. I actually went on a 7-day silent retreat earlier this year.
It
was,
and no phone.
Oh no, 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 no phone.
Wow. I think I could do that.
Yeah, you could. Anyway, so I try to maintain some, and I'm not perfect, and I get, you know, off kilter sometimes
distracted.
As well, but distracted and, you know, have, you know, like I just talked about, some ruminating or lots of ruminating thoughts. And, but I do find that when I'm out on the trails or the roads, and sometimes just turning in that into a moving meditation or a chance to practice gratitude. I get to be out here. Like, my body is moving and I'm in the fresh air. And
oh, that's good. That's good.
And again, it's not always like that on my ride earlier. There was like a time, like 10 or 15 minutes of my ride today, my lower back hurt so bad. And I was like, oh my gosh, I am done. I'm going home. And then just
You, not just us age groupers.
Oh, it was terrible.
Oh, that's good to know.
Can you relate to that?
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, I was like almost going to come home, and I was like, I am in so much stinking pain. And then just sitting with, well, literally sitting on my bike with it, but, and eventually it went away. But just trying to, I really do try to maintain some mindfulness in most things that I do. And it's not always perfect, but it's a kind of like yoga. It's a practice, and I try to practice. I try to practice it as much as I can.
Mm-hmm. What about burnout? How do you help prevent burnout?
Oh gosh.
Oh yeah. Up to a race. Yeah. I need to know this.
Oh, that's a good question. Cause I definitely have experienced burnout in triathlon. I've experienced it as a coach. I think it's cause I push so hard and I'm so passionate about what I do. And I think, and I'm 100% on 110% on what I do. And I think, just having some awareness when it's coming or when it's already there, and then just stepping back and giving myself what I need. It's usually probably a day off of training or a day off of checking Training Peaks. That's the platform I use for my athletes. Yeah. Are you guys familiar with it?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So it might just be putting the computer. I try to take one day off a week, and sometimes I don't do that, but I'm trying to be better. And or maybe it's just not opening it after a certain time, after 5 p.m. or something, whatever.
Like burnout, I'm just talking out loud. Mm-hmm. Burnout's like you're just tired of working out. So you could either be, you're just tired, maybe mentally you're just tired, or you're just tired of physically.
Mm-hmm.
I guess it could be different things. So maybe you need to switch your workout around, but you can still work out.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think burnout can come physically, and for, you know, a lot of, I would say most age group athletes, when they're tired or getting burned out, they're overtraining because it's kind of like too much of a good thing. Because we're so, in my experience, triathletes are so ambitious and they're so disciplined, but sometimes you get to a point where you need to take a day off or 2 days off. and it's okay. And it's okay.
I always feel guilty.
I know. And it's hard to have confidence that just taking that day or two off in the long run is going to make you a healthier person and a healthier athlete. Mm-hmm. But in that time, I experienced it myself. It doesn't sometimes feel good. So like, oh my gosh, I'm getting behind in my training plan.
Yeah.
I think we have to give ourselves some grace sometimes. Another thing specifically, I've just started doing, probably just in the last year, I've started walking sometimes. And I used to literally say, I hate walking. And I don't even, like the word.
Yeah, me too.
Like, I'm a runner. Walking is so boring.
Exactly. Yes.
But now, like, I have kind of started to find some value in it, even probably just more mentally than physically, to just let the mind calm down.
That's what I do at work at lunchtime. When I just need to get out, I'm going out for a walk. They're like, what? You're going for a walk? I was like, I need to get out of here.
I think there's a lot of value to walking. I really do.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So maybe a walk instead of a run on a burnout day or when you're feeling burned out. Or maybe it's, and I would always go back to sleep as well.
Yeah.
Like, are my athletes getting enough sleep? Probably not. And if
listen
that's the
to your
case,
book.
Yeah. Right. And if that's
listen
the case,
to the podcast.
if you're not getting enough sleep, I'd say then I don't want you to wake up at 4:30 and do masters tomorrow. I want you to get a good 8 hours of sleep or whatever it is.
Yeah.
It's usually sleep. And then also hydration too. That's another thing. Kind of the simple things. Like if you're not getting enough water, your brain is not functioning at full capacity.
Yeah.
Let alone what we need for training, but just on a daily, you know, to finish our daily tasks, I think hydration and making sure we're drinking our water, it's so simple, but it's also so easy to overlook. I've done it myself. And I can tell the day after, if I haven't drank enough water, I'll wake up with a headache and I'll be like, gosh darn it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Have you guys experienced that?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Just the other day when I have a water bottle at work that
I'm the water pusher.
I have to fill it up twice and I barely drink anything. And I came home and I was like, gosh, I only drank like maybe 6 ounces of water today. Oh. It's like I had a headache.
Oh, I bet.
It was bad.
I bet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It looks like you've done different types of endurance racing. So yes. What's your favorite race? So have you actually done gravel racing?
I have, yes.
Because wow. That, yeah. I might want to try that, John.
Okay, yeah. Okay. And I've been thinking, yeah, do you have a gravel bike?
Our no. bikes are, yes, our bikes, well, our red yeah. bikes are actual gravel bikes.
It's oh. fat, they're fat tires.
Yeah. Sure, and yeah.
We use them as our bikes that we use to build the engine.
Sure.
We use our yes. tri bikes later. Yeah.
Love it. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I do. I haven't done a lot of gravel races, probably two or three. But I've been thinking of hopping into some in the fall or next year, maybe even.
Did you do them with a bunch of mud?
No, I did them around. Dirt. No, more dusty and actual oh. gravel, like farm roads around here. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but not mud. Mm-mm. No.
so my favorite. How far was it? Like,
oh gosh, probably it was a few years ago. I don't even remember. Maybe 60 miles, 80 oh, wow. miles. Yeah. I think one was a little bit shorter, like 45 or 50. Yeah, I do like gravel racing, and that kind of leads into I haven't actually done a 70.3 in 5 years.
Oh,
so
okay.
I did Ironman, full Ironmans, and then I turned into a 70.3 specialist. And then the past few years, I've focused on trail racing with running. Oh, and I would say definitely. I had the opportunity to race in Italy this year in March at Sciacca Trail.
Oh. That would be so fun.
Oh, yeah. It was just absolutely spectacular.
I'm
it was
sure
through
it was
the
beautiful.
Cinque Terre on the Mediterranean. And
wow.
Have you guys been over there by chance?
No.
No.
We just watch it on TV.
We've seen pictures.
Was that a 50K or 100K?
There was a 100K option. I did not do that one. I did the 50. Technically 47K, a little bit under 50, but I usually just say 50 because it's easier to say. And there was 7,000 or 8,000 feet vertical.
Oh,
so it took me a little over 9 hours to do.
Oh, wow.
But actually the downhills were more challenging for me than the uphills because, it rained off and on, and the cobblestones were wet, and I'm just not a good descender for running or biking. I'm not a speed demon. I'm risk averse. And so I'll go up all day, but coming down, gosh, the Europeans just prance down them like these beautiful, and I'm just like, and I'm literally sidestepping.
Oh.
Like wow. Like my watch registered 3 or 3.5 hours of walking. Mm-hmm. Because most of that was walking downhill because it was so so steep. All that being said, it was just, I had the opportunity to study over there when I was in college in Florence, Italy, and I hadn't been back since then.
Mm-hmm.
And so to go back there and see, it was just as I imagined, probably even better, maybe because I'm
older. That's what we
should
do.
And I appreciate it more. Yeah.
Maybe we should find a race, John, and go
in
on
Europe?
A trip. Yeah.
Yeah, there you go. It's a beautiful way to see the world. Yeah. I mean, I won't lie. There's sometimes, you know, before a race with the pre-race anxieties, I'm like, why can't I just go travel the world like a normal person and not have the stress of these races?
Racecations, that's what we
do. Racecations, and I'm like, why do I keep doing this to myself? And then while I'm in it and afterwards, and I was like, what better way to see the world?
Did you have your own support crew for that, or you just
I went over solo. Wow. I did meet up with a friend from Canada who also did it. So I had her, and then we met up with another female from Boise, Idaho, not too far from here. And so the three of us, we all went over separately, but we kind of formed our own crew, and it was a dream. It was an absolute dream. Yeah.
So before I interrupted you, is that your favorite race or?
Right now it is. Yes. I would say, and then for triathlon, I've also gotten to travel a bit for that. Probably Nice, France, the World Championships.
Yes.
That was something else also.
That was experience. Actually our next question about how was it racing in 70.3 Worlds?
Oh, gosh. Just in Australia as well. And even Chattanooga, Tennessee surprised me.
That's a
fun little town.
Kate raced there once.
Did you? Okay, so you know. What did you think of Chattanooga?
It was pretty. It was really pretty. Yeah, the
it was just
the river and
Yep.
Yeah, the trail along the river and
yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, I really enjoyed it. Yeah, and just really kind people and good restaurants and did some time in Nashville afterwards.
Oh, I did one in Nashville.
Yeah, but I say Nice, France was another race of a lifetime, trip of a lifetime.
Wow.
So did you go up that mountain and then ride your bike back down that mountain?
Yes. Yes. I thought
savage.
I love hills. Like I said, I love hills, but the hills in Europe are not the same as the hills in Eastern Washington State.
right.
And again, it was the descents that were absolutely my hands. I was on my brakes for a good hour at least descending.
Wow.
The descents were terrifying to me.
With the white knuckles.
Oh, yeah. I was white knuckling the whole time. But, I mean, talk about beautiful. And through the little villages up in the mountains and the people, the townspeople would come out and line the roads and cheer.
Go.
Yeah. It was – and then swimming in the Mediterranean. Oh, gosh. For us, for the females, it was wetsuit legal, and then the males raced the day after, and it wasn't wetsuit legal. So the water was warm. It could have gone either way for us.
Yeah, so, me and John have asked each other questions like that, and would you rather use a wetsuit or without a wetsuit?
Oh, always a wetsuit for me.
I would rather without.
Without? Yeah? Stricting. What about you, John?
I would prefer to use a wetsuit. Only because it gives you that buoyancy, and although I always feel like my head's being shoved down into the water, because I just feels odd. So we practice that, you know, to do that. But
yeah, I'm team wetsuit. And Kate, you're not so hot on them.
I would just rather be free and just
Well, yeah, and then the salt water too with the Mediterranean, you know, adds some buoyancy as well. So that swim was just something else. It was spectacular. I could have just stayed in the, just swam all day. But the bike was fun. And then the run along the main street there, and it was a out and back two times, and just lined with massive amount of people from all over the world.
That's good. Fans,
it's neat watching them like they'll just stand seven deep to watch. Nice. That's like I'd
it's
have to
fun.
Call
that
someone
just
tonight.
all of that positive energy, it really
I think that's what it is.
It's just so supportive and positive, and it's just those kind of races, it's just a really fun environment.
That's great. That's great.
I had a question a long time ago, but do your kids do any triathlons or running or biking or gravel?
Well, okay. So when I was as a athlete and now as a coach, I was very conscientious about not forcing my kids into sports and letting them discover what works for them and what they like to do and not like to do. When they were little, all three of them did. We have a little junior triathlon here every year. we just had it a couple of weeks ago, and I get to be the bike sweeper. So I get to be with all like the really little tiny kids.
Yeah.
Oh, it's so
that'd
fun.
Be fun.
Oh my gosh, this one girl, and then on the run, this one girl, like, she bent her cup so it made a heart shape. Oh. And she's like, and I'm friends with her dad. She's like, can you take a picture and show my dad? And I was like,
oh my gosh.
I will absolutely, and this is during the race, quote unquote.
Right.
And so we stop, and I'm like, I will absolutely take a picture of your heart cup.
That's cool.
They're so sweet. Anyway, long story short, my kids did the junior triathlon when they were little, one, maybe 2 years, and it never, it didn't really stick. My oldest child, he played lacrosse in high school. So that was his sport. My middle child, she tried out soccer and basketball, and she's more into reading and so it wasn't really her thing. And then my youngest, she's a volleyball player. She plays for clubs, or a club. In high school as well. So the triathlon and running never really stuck with them. And I'm totally okay with that. I mean, I would love to be able to do it as a family, but I'm the kind of person, I'm not going to force anything on my kids. I gave them the opportunity to try it, and then I had to let it be.
We did a small family sprint triathlon once right after I ruptured my patellar tendon. And our son came in first. I mean, from us, he came in first and he
was awesome.
Yeah. Uh-huh. But at the end, after he beat us all, he's like, I'm retired now.
It was so funny the way you said that.
He's going out on top.
Yeah. That was
That's
funny.
So cute.
Yeah. Yeah. So, on to the next question. In off season, so I think you've told us already, what do you do in off season? Like, I guess you read.
I do. I love to read. But as far as triathlon goes, hit the weight room. It's the weight room. Absolutely. 110%. Build the strength. Drop the volume again. And that's hard to do. And I didn't do this very well for years. I'll admit it. I just kept trying to crank through. And I have done some marathons in January or February that did require some run volume. But now I'm 100% to all my athletes to get in the weight room and give your body a little break from the grind, you know. And if you love to swim, then swim. And, you know, there's a philosophy to work on your limiters. And I think there's value in that. I also think there's value in doing what you enjoy to do, like bringing that joy back to, you know, we trained so hard all throughout the years, most of us for, you know, 9 months or so at this point, and, you know, swimming and biking and running and
the same old thing.
Yeah. And I think it's so important. Yeah. Work on what you need to, you know, what you're not very good at, but also do what makes you happy.
Yeah.
If you love to gravel bike, go gravel bike. If you love to golf, if you like to go, whatever it might be, if you like to play pickleball, if you like to hike, you know, go find some mountains and go. I have one of my athletes on a hike today in the mountains, and I'm like, absolutely.
Yeah.
And so I think it's finding, giving yourself that chance to find your joy and what, you know, what, and make it fun as opposed to just sticking to this training plan and getting into the weight room as much as possible,
I just can't stop running. I love running. It puts me in the happy mental state.
I hear you, Kate. There's nothing like it, huh?
I hate running. Yeah.
He likes the biking.
I like the biking. Well,
that's great. Are you? That's so funny. Are you always outside, or do you Zwift, or
outside is my favorite. Mm-hmm. Like quiet Saturday mornings when there's no cars or people.
I like to do the Zwift indoors.
Zwifting, that's for like training, you know, training.
That's what I was doing.
But on like off, you know, off season.
Yeah. It can be Zwift could be social too. I think depending, you know, if you ride, ride with quote unquote other people.
Yeah.
Yeah, Caitlin's always getting the jerseys for the sprint.
King of the Mountain.
I'm like, hey, what? Yeah. How'd you get that?
I don't even know how I do it. I'm like, look, I got a jersey. I don't know how I did it.
Those jerseys are so satisfying, aren't they?
Yeah.
So you are a coach. So tell us about your coaching philosophy.
Oh, gosh. Well, I try to coach from a standpoint, kind of what we talked about earlier, from a holistic standpoint, and taking each athlete and working with them, not just throwing a training program at them, and working with their life and, you know, discovering what keeps them motivated, what keeps them happy, what they need to work on. And I really, my philosophy, I like to be collaborative. I don't like to think of myself as top down. I'm not a dictator. I try not to be. I don't know. My athletes might disagree. I hope not, though. But my intention is to be collaborative. And I put together plans, but I also tell my athletes, if something doesn't look right, or if you can't do it, or if I've made a mistake, then I expect you to tell me. And so we can work together and make it right for you. And I'm there for all my athletes. I am in their corner unapologetically all day, every day. I'm with them. It's really, not to be cliche, but it's a journey. I also want it to be fun for my athletes too. So we try
it's
to.
It's kind of neat how you can intertwine in people's lives, basically.
Yeah. And it's not always perfect. There's sometimes where, especially in a race build, if, you know, especially with my athletes that have some very lofty goals, or we have a world's qualification on the line, things get really intense and can does turn into a grind sometimes. And then, I see it in their training or in their data, or they tell me, and then we readjust things.
Are they honest with you and they tell you when they're in a grind or they're feeling negative?
Yes and no. Like, I try to tell them, like, I can't find these needles in a haystack. You got to tell me, you got to give me a heads up. But sometimes,
so do you try to look at them face to face and you can try to read them?
Or I can even tell through the computer in the comments on Training Peaks. I can pick up the vibe. Or if an athlete's gone silent for a few days, I'm like, what's going on? Something's up. So I check it. I'm just checking in. What's up? You know,
but or they give you these one word sentences. Good.
Oh yeah. Then I'm good. I'm fine. Then it's not fine. And then it's the conversation. Yeah. But I also, it depends on the athletes and their personalities. You know, I can be invasive or I can't be. And sometimes it does take me. It might be something that they need to work out on their own. And so I, leave them be, or I give them an opportunity to talk with me. And if they don't want to, I mean, usually they do though. Usually always. But at the same time, it might be something, I mean, we all have stuff that come up, that comes up in life, and maybe they're just not having a good week or a good day and that can affect training too, though. So
that's great that you can pick up on that, because that's something that I keep telling Kate, because she says I should coach other people, and I said I
know he would be great.
I said because I can see you. I see you every day. We spend a lot of time together, and I can see you when that workout's not going to work out. So we need to change it, or you need to take a day off, or because she won't tell me.
Okay.
I have to keep asking, and then finally I'm just like no, we're going to change it.
Well,
but I can't do that with others.
Then I have a fancy watch. I'm sure you have a fancy watch, but
I was looking at her watch.
He asked me about my watch. He's like, "So, what is your watch telling you?" I'm like, "Oh." But it's not perfect data. But he's like, "Well, what's your body battery status say?"
Actually, I've started to use that without even looking at my watch. I want to say my body battery's low. I don't know what my watch is saying, but I feel low, so I'm low.
Doesn't that make you feel like a robot?
Yeah, kind of. And that's something else I do with my athletes. I love data, and I will data geek out like the best of them. But at the same time, I am all into the subjective as well. Like, if your data says this, but you feel like junk, I am more interested in how you feel. And so working with athletes on the objective and the subjective, I think is so important. And some athletes love the science. Most do, actually. But sometimes if you don't feel good and your watch says that you're ready to train, I don't want you to train. I don't care what your watch says.
Yeah, exactly.
Sometimes some of my athletes, especially in the pool, I will tell them, I will write all caps, no Garmin. Like, they are not allowed to put their, especially, I've wanted to do that once a month. Maybe I should get
back. Yeah, I'm going to try that. That would be kind of interesting.
Yeah. Have you ever gone out just like on a run, for example, without your watch?
A long time ago.
Yeah. I haven't done it in a while too, but I know when I've done it in the past, because I have, a routes that I do all the time. I had phantom buzzing on my, I didn't have my watch on, but like when that, I could, with my eyes closed, I know where the mile marker is on the trail. I like look down at my wrist and I'm like, oh yeah, there's nothing there. the watch is not on.
That'd be weird.
It's so liberating. Yeah.
We're just working on not running with headphones for Kate.
I like my music.
I do too. I love music. Do you have anything special in particular that you like to listen to?
Techno music.
Okay.
No voice, just music.
Do you listen to music, John?
Yeah, I'm partial to 80s music. Okay. I've got like a 20-hour playlist that just keeps going and going. Like, oh, awesome. I remember that song.
And you?
I'm a lot of T Swift. I love Taylor Swift.
Oh, okay. Swifty.
I went to her concert last summer with my youngest daughter. And I went to the concert just kind of for fun. I was not a Swifty. Then I left the concert a Swifty. Absolutely, 100% love Taylor.
Yeah,
I love
she's cool. She's grown up, so she's grown.
Yeah. Anyway, but I also listen to other music too. I like to listen to Spanish music a lot, and I actually like to listen to like slow love songs from the 70s and 80s. I feel like that kind of calms me when I'm running.
Oh yeah.
I guess it depends on the run too. If I'm trying to do a tempo mm-hmm. run or like fast intervals, that's not very helpful. But mm-hmm. just for those zone two runs, I like slower stuff.
Or when I'm going out running, meditating, praying, which I call praying.
Yeah, same day.
I guess it's the same thing. I listen to like Christian music or,
love it. Yeah, mm-hmm. absolutely. Yeah.
All right. So the Ironman 70.3 Tri-Cities in Washington State is on September 22nd, your hometown.
We're going to watch you. Yeah, we're going to look for a streaming and watch.
Oh, thank you so much.
And we see that it's already sold out, which is really good. Yeah. So you are their spokesperson. What do you want everyone to know about this race?
That we cannot wait for everybody to come to our area. Uh-huh. It's like you just said, it is sold out at 3,100 athletes.
Wow.
So for an inaugural race, we're absolutely thrilled. This is our backyard, and to be able to, and Ironman says for every athlete, there's probably 2, 3, 4 supporters that come with them. Mm-hmm. And I really think that our area, so we're in southeastern Washington State. It's a desert here. So there's, we're 3.5 hours from Seattle, 3.5 hours from Portland. The Cascade Mountain Range bifurcates our state. So our topography and our weather is nothing like the west side. We're dry. We have all four mm-hmm. seasons. I think it's like 90 degrees here today. It's beautiful. It's so beautiful. But we get not a lot of snow, but we'll get some snow in the winter.
Wow.
So we're thrilled. We're at the confluence of three rivers, the Columbia, the Snake, and the Yakima. Mm. The swim in the 70.3 is going to be downriver, which triathletes love.
So how many degrees is it?
I don't know. It's going to be wetsuit legal though. You'll want a wetsuit for this swim. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's very pleasant right now, but by the end of September, it's going to go down a little bit in temperature, but it'll still be pleasant. Mm-hmm. We start swimming in the river in May. I'm kind of a June person now, but it's still a little bit of that ice cream headache. But right now, this time of year, it's beautiful. So it's a downriver swim, and then the bike is a circular
rolling
bike. Hills. Yeah, rolling hills. Mm. There's some, the first part, there's some punchy hills, and then it's through, there'll be some vineyards, it's gonna be beautiful. There's a long stretch through Badger Canyon that's just rolling and straight, so it'll so there's hills, you got to be strong.
She's selling me, John.
All right,
but you also have to be comfortable in that time trial position, because those the flat straight or the rolling straight for quite a while in the middle of the race, it's the great opportunity to tuck in, get aero, stay up on your hydration and and fueling, and then we loop back around to back to the transition again. And then the run is pancake flat on the running path right along the river, right where we swam. Mm. So it's an out and back. So it's super spectator friendly too.
That's what I was going to ask.
Yeah, the spectators can be on the shore watching the swim because it's a point to point. And then when we come back in off the bike, it's an out and back on those same footpaths along the river. So it can be, you can spectate it really easily.
Oh, yeah. Nice.
Yeah. And then for the people that aren't into triathlon or not racing, all the supporters that we love and that we need, we have, I don't know how many wineries in our area, tons. There's countless wineries. There's breweries. There's, of course, the water sports. There's kayaking and paddle boarding, like to wake surf or jet ski. We have all
I miss all that.
Yeah, there's lots of opportunities for the water sports. And then the weather is going to, it's a really pretty time of year here. Mm-hmm. And it's a dry heat. Although
it's there's no humidity.
We're a desert. It's high a desert. Mm-hmm. So, yep, high desert. So I really think
it's... your athletes that you train going to be in it?
Yes, I have about 10 or so of them.
Oh, wow. Good.
Yeah, yes. Yeah. Yep.
Good.
Yeah.
Are they from outside the area or mostly in the area?
For this race, they are all from this area. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, for this race, out of the 3,100 athletes, there's about 250 of us locals. And then everybody else is coming from out of town. Actually, I met some out of towners out on the race course today as I was biking.
Oh, wow.
Like right up next to him. Hey, where are you from?
Yeah, that's nice. That's
so
cool.
So that's really fun to see that energy and people coming into town right now, previewing the course. And then also in the transition area at the race for spectators again and support people, there's restaurants and hotels. Mm. So there's a good infrastructure there as well for everybody.
That's good.
Yeah, cool. I think I'm so excited. I can't wait to share this little area with everybody. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So after this race, are you going to be doing more half Ironmans or more races, or are you just going to go to do your coaching?
That's a really good question, and I don't have an answer quite yet. Yeah.
Yes, we'll see.
I actually, in 2 days from now, I fly out to Wisconsin, and I'm coaching an athlete doing a 10-time Ironman. It's called a DECA. Yeah. Yeah. Have you guys heard of that?
Uh-huh.
Crazy.
Yeah.
Crazy.
It's next level. It really is. And he's doing the continuous, so you can do one per day, or you can do continuous, where you do all the swim, all the bike, all the run.
Wow.
And that's what he's chosen to do. And it's a 14-day cutoff. Mm. Wow. So in addition to the 70.3 race, I'm going to be going there for 2.5 weeks. And then I'll come back right before the race here. And then I'm going to give myself some time, a week or two, to kind of reevaluate. I'll definitely still keep coaching, which after the race, I'm going to tell my athletes to not even get on Training Peaks. Just leave it alone for a week or two. Give yourselves a break as well.
Yeah.
Because I know that just unplug a little bit, and then I'll continue to coach and then get into the off season. And and I'm not sure where from there. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, great.
I'm sure I'll come up with something though. It's gonna be good. But I'm gonna keep coaching, that's for sure.
Good. Yeah, do what you love.
Yes,
yeah,
definitely.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, Caitlin, she wanted to keep working out after her 70.3. I'm like, no.
You're... I'm like, John, can I go now?
No.
No.
Nope.
Okay, can I go now?
Okay, now you can go.
Good advice, John.
I'm like, I feel fine. I wasn't that sore, and I'm like, I feel fine. Can I go?
Yeah, it would be like the entry. Any non-triathlon activity, okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
So how can our listeners reach out to you if they want training or anything else?
Yeah, I'm mostly on Instagram. You can reach out to me. I'm at Jennifer Comfort Coaching. You can message me. I have a link tree where there's a contact form you can fill out. I'm also on Facebook as well. If people prefer Facebook, I have a coaching page. It's the same, Jennifer Comfort Coaching.
Can we put you on our website or whatever?
I would love for you to do that. Of course you can. Yeah. Yes, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, unfortunately, our podcast is only an audio podcast. So maybe we'll move up someday. But
I know. That'd be fun.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, great. We enjoyed having you as our first guest.
Awesome.
That's great.
I feel honored. This has been so fun, you guys.
Well, we feel honored.
Yes, definitely. And we're hopefully it's going to be, they have some live streaming from for the 70.3. If not, we'll look at the finish line video. Yeah. They always have that one.
Yes. Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, thank you for joining our podcast.
Yeah,
we enjoyed it. And then good luck on your race. Good luck going out to Wisconsin, watching
thank
that
you.
DECA. That's just crazy.
It is. It yeah. is. Well, thank you so much for having thank me. You. I really appreciate it. Yeah.
Yeah. Right. Good luck.
All right. All right. See you later.
Bye-bye.
Bye.